I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn with me this morning to Matthew chapter 23, verse 37, and we'll read down through Matthew 24, verse 3. We're looking at Jesus' sorrow as he was preparing to go to the cross and seeing the response that Jerusalem had for him. They missed their Messiah. Folks, we're heading towards the Resurrection Sunday, but there's a few steps in between. This is the last part of Jesus' ministry in his first advent that we're talking about in the next few Sundays. And so I trust that that'll be a blessing to you. Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how oft would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. Can you imagine, folks, Jesus sitting on the Mount of Olives overlooking Jerusalem, and the disciples seeing something much different than Jesus did? Notice the next words of Jesus. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming, and of the end of the world, or the end of the age? Heavenly Father, we ask that as we look into your word today, that we would have not only eyes to see, but also ears to hear our Savior and his responses to our questions. And Father, I pray that we might clearly understand what you said to your disciples so long ago on the Mount of Olives. Father, we thank you that not only are you coming for your church in what is called the rapture, where we will be caught up in the air to meet you in the air, as 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says, but also that you are coming back down to this earth after the 7 years of tribulation, before the 1,000-year rule and reign here upon this earth. Oh Lord, what a privilege it is to know you as our Savior, and to anticipate that day when we shall see you and be with you in glory, but also to return to this earth, an earth that will be so transformed and be under, finally, the benevolent rule of you. We thank you that someday we will see things made right and righteous in your sight. Lord, we ask now that as we look in your word today, that you will speak to our hearts. We pray that if there be one without Christ, that today would not be the day that they would turn away, but that the day that they would receive him. And Father, as believers, may we rejoice in what you are preparing for us, not only in heaven, but in the future on this earth. In Jesus' name, Amen. Are you good at asking the right question? Your pastor has a tough time with that. Sometimes I want to ask a question, and I don't always know the right question to ask, and I listen to others that seem to be so smart, and they seem to have just the right words to ask the right question at the right time to the right person. Wow. That is really a gift, I think. Sometimes we're hesitant to ask questions because we do not know how to ask them well, or we do not know where or who to ask the questions, or perhaps we don't trust those that we want to ask the question. Let me assure you that the Lord Jesus is the right person to go with your questions. Amen? He always has the right answer. Ask the Lord to help you to find the answers He has already provided in the Bible. And then beyond your search in the Bible, you can have the promise of God that's written in James chapter 1 and verse 5, which is a great promise when we're asking questions. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. You see, we can pray and ask God to fill in the blanks that we don't understand. In the tough times, like Joe and Karen are going through. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Praise God. Things we do not understand, God has an answer. James chapter 1 and verse 6. He goes on to tell us how to ask. He says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. It is possible to have the right answers, but not to believe it is true or to doubt the answer. In our text today, the Lord makes a stunning announcement to his disciples that desolation is coming to Jerusalem and the temple is going to be destroyed. Now, the announcement stirred the disciples' hearts to the very depth. And the disciples must have been thinking, how can Jesus make such an ominous declaration in light of the fact that the temple project is still underway? It's not even completed. This temple project, folks, I don't think we understand. I have never been to Israel, but someday I'm going. And it's going to be different, but I'm going, okay? And if you're a believer, you'll be going, okay? Someday we're going to be in Jerusalem. And but the temple that Herod erected for the Jews was on a 26-acre plot of ground. To give you an idea how big that is, Berean Baptist Church and our properties here are only a little over 3 acres. That means that the Temple Mount area was actually 8.5 times what you see around here in our building. Can you imagine? And the blocks of the temple were made of hard limestone, 30 feet long, 18 feet wide, and 12 feet thick. And Jesus says they're going to be leveled. Now, folks, these disciples are sitting up on Mount Olives. They're saying, Jesus, now look at this. This is magnificent. It was kind of like one of the 7 wonders of the world in that New Testament day. And the temple had been building for 46 years, the Bible says in John chapter 2 and verse 20, in the first year of Jesus' ministry. So we're now up to, this is the last week of Jesus' life here almost. We're up to 49 years they're looking down on a building project, and it's still not done. Incredible. It was not completed until 64 AD. Jesus would go to the cross, and that was approximately about another 40 years beyond this time when they were on the Mount of Olives. So the temple didn't get built and last more than about 6 years before it was destroyed. Incredible. Certainly, Jerusalem and the temple were destroyed in 70 AD under the Romans by Titus and his soldiers. And Jesus predicted this destruction of the temple and Jerusalem in Matthew chapter 24. And Luke records what was going on and happened in the destruction in Luke 19:42-44. As the disciples heard Jesus say these things, you ever been curious when somebody makes a stunning statement like that? Now, I don't think we have prophets like Jesus on this earth anymore, but there's some people that want to predict things, okay? Some people even pay to go to a soothsayer or somebody who is going to predict the future. But Jesus, he is saying these things that when everything looks rosy at that point concerning the temple. And the disciples, I can just almost hear the chatter. Can you imagine this? I mean, this must be like a fellowship dinner, huh? I mean, these guys said, wow, how can he say that? We've got to get a committee together to go ask the right question to the right person. And so who do they get together? The Bible tells us in Mark. In the Gospel of Mark, it tells us that it was Peter, James, and John, and Andrew. They go to Jesus, and they ask three questions. Now, it looks like in our Bibles here, maybe only two question marks, but I think there is a third question that's within the second question. And it says there they ask, and they say, tell us when these things shall be, that the temple's going to be destroyed. Okay, that's the first question. The second is, and what shall be the sign of thy coming? In other words, Jesus says he's going away. He says that back in verse 39. But he says there's going to come a day when you'll say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. When is that going to happen? What are the signs? What is the preparation for that event? So we can be ready. Whoa. And then they ask him, I mean, they are just, I mean, these questions are just loaded. They say, and when is the end of the world? But really what they're saying is, when is the end of the age that we are in right now? You see, they were living in the times of the Gentiles. Okay? Israel had rejected their Messiah. And they were living under Gentile domination for a long, 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 long time. It goes back to Assyria in the Old Testament in 722 BC, and then you go to the Babylonian one in 605 BC, and then now they were under Roman domination. They're under the times of the Gentiles. What kind of Messiah were the Jews looking for? They were looking for one who would deliver them from this Gentile domination. Well, do you see how loaded these questions are? No problem to Jesus to answer, because he's omniscient and he knows all things. My, to me, it's just incredible. These questions were excellent questions for his disciples and for believers to ask today. And in your bulletin, and sometimes hymns kind of mix things up a little bit. I noticed on the last hymn that we sang today, I was a little concerned about that after looking at the words. But there is a difference between the rapture and the second coming of Jesus, okay? What we're finding here in Matthew chapter 24 is questions on when is Jesus coming back to this earth? But the rapture is us going up to meet the Lord in the air and so to be with him in heaven for 7 years before we accompany him back down to this earth, okay? There is a difference between the rapture and the second coming when Jesus comes back to earth. Okay, actually the second coming is two parts. Okay, the rapture and the time that he comes back to rule and reign for 1,000 years. Now, you say, Pastor, I don't understand that. That's okay. I've got a nice chart in my study, and if you want another day's lecture, I'll be happy to go over that chart with you, okay? And it's just thrilling to me to think about our prospects. I know we have people here today and some of our senior saints here today. I know they just revel in prophecy. And I just thought, here is Jesus, last days of his ministry. And he saves this sermon for a special occasion. Question number one. When will the temple be destroyed? Okay, that's what they're asking essentially when they say here in verse 3, there where he says that, see not ye all these things? Verily I say unto you in verse 2, and then they come down and they ask the question, tell us when these things shall be. And so I want us to take our Bibles, and this is going way too fast. Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. I may have to summarize very much so, but I want you to see some of these things. He says in Luke chapter 21, a lot of people get this mixed up, but in Luke chapter 21, we find in verses 12 through 19, we find what is going to happen there preceding AD 70 in verses 12 through 19. He says, and but before all these, they shall lay hands on you and persecute you and so on. And he talks about all of these things that they're going to have to go through up to 70 AD. All right? What happened after Jesus went back to heaven? What was established here on earth on the day of Pentecost? It was the birthday of the church. Let me ask you, those early disciples, did they have it easy? Were they persecuted? Did they go through lots of struggles? And did God intervene occasionally and go after the chief persecutor? The man who was called Saul who became Paul? He did. Okay. But he says in verse 19, in your patience, possess your souls. And then he comes down to what is no deliverance. Okay? In 70 AD. I've had people that have the wrong theology come up to me, and they say to me, yeah, but Pastor, Jesus Christ came back to earth in 70 AD. Show me. In the Bible. Okay? This is what Jesus says is going to happen in 70 AD. In verses 20 on down here through verse 23, he says, and when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. The Romans surrounded Jerusalem before they took it, sieged it. And then let them which are in the Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out of it, and let not them that are in the countries enter in thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And he goes on and he says, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. Have the Jews been dispersed around this world? Yes. Okay, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. When is that terminal ending of the time of the Gentiles? It is at the end of the tribulation when Jesus Christ returns to this earth. Whew! That must have been some hard news. There's not going to be a deliverer that you're looking for right now. Jerusalem's going to be put down. And folks, the Jerusalem today that everybody is crying for peace for, don't get too excited that it's going to last. Because they will not have peace until the Prince of Peace comes to this earth again. And then they will. Now, it describes the siege on Jerusalem in Luke 19, 41 to 44. I don't have time to get into that, but Jesus predicted it accurately. And be assured that what Jesus and the Bible says always comes to be true. Always trust God's word. Question number two. What will be the sign of Jesus' second coming? The Jews always seek a sign, right? They want to know what is going to precede, what is going to lead up to this, what is going, so we can get prepared. I'll tell you what, I think the Jews must have had the Boy Scout motto, be prepared, okay? Certainly, we find here that they ask this question, and Jesus answers it back there in Matthew chapter 24 in a lengthy sermon. And he says, first of all, it will be preceded by some birth pangs, which is the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. Those birth pangs are going to involve several things. And among them, we find that there is going to be this, as it were, strong deception, where they will have those that will come and say, I am the Messiah, I will deliver you. Oh, do you ever get weary of these politicians that say we're going to have a chicken in every pot and that we are going to have this and we are going to have that and everything's going to turn out hunky-dory? Not too many of them even fulfill a portion of their promises. But Jesus says, beware. There's deception out there. There's deception even today in the church age. William Booth said of the 20th century that the gospel would not fare well because it would be Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, and heaven without hell. Now that doesn't sound like the Bible, does it? 70% of those involved in religious affiliations today, they want modicum religion. We found that in the feature devotional, this word, the word modicum. I said to my wife, I've never heard modicum before. I wonder what modicum means. It means just a little bit. Just a little bit. Don't give me too much religion. Just a little bit. Oh, I tell you. Strong deception. We have Marxism and the immoral that want to cancel Christianity today and to silence the truth of God's word, but we need to keep giving out the gospel of the truth of Jesus Christ. Amen? He died for us, he rose again, and he's coming again. That's my Lord. I hope he's your Lord too. Now, not only is there going to be strong deception, but there's going to be strong devastation. Global wars. Israel is going to be promised peace by the Antichrist in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. And he's going to break that peace, and he's going to slaughter the abomination of the desolation on the altar in the temple there in the tribulation. Strong devastation, wars, in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. strong deprivation, food shortages, famine, deprivation of food, disease, deprivation of health. We've just gone through a pandemic here, still going through it a little bit. But let me tell you, it's nothing compared to what's going to happen in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. And by the time the tribulation is over, there will be more than half of this world's population that will die. Will that make 500,000 people that have died in America look small? Extremely small. Certainly, there will be earthquakes, deprivation of shelter. There will be persecution, deprivation of freedom and life. And the beginning birth pangs will increase in intensity. And we find that in these very first beginning things that we find here in the first half of the tribulation, in Matthew chapter 24 and verses 6 on down here to about verse 12, we find those things. The first four seals, judgments that you find in Revelation chapter 6. That we've just talked about. Jesus says that's not all. There's something else that's going to precede my coming again. Not only the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, but also the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. And Jesus says in verse 21 and verse 22, this is the great tribulation. Unless the days are shortened, no one's going to survive the tribulation. In fact, Revelation 9:15 says after the first four have to die and the first four seal judgments, then there's going to be in this last half that a third more of the world's population is going to die. That means almost 60% of the world's population is going to be dead in the tribulation. Certainly, others will die in judgments as they follow the Antichrist. And we know where Antichrist and the false prophet and those that follow the Antichrist, where they're going to end up in the lake of fire, the Bible tells us very clearly. But we do know that there will be people from around this globe that will turn to Jesus Christ in the tribulation. But many of them will face a martyr's death, because they will not be able to buy or sell without the mark of the beast. And that means you're following Antichrist. If you take the mark. Certainly, there will be other great signs of his coming. In Matthew chapter 24, verses 29, we find there some interesting things. It says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven. That means that in that time there's going to be cosmic disturbances of the sun, the moon, and the stars. And certainly in the Old Testament, when they talk about the day of the Lord and the judgments that God would send during that time period, some of those events occurred as well. And as a result of that, in verse 29, I stopped there. It said, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. We're not talking about the cosmic stars and the sun and the moon anymore. We're talking about those which are demons. Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 6 about powers and principalities, those that are following the devil, Satan. He says they're going to be shaken. The demons are going to be shaken. Why are they going to be shaken? Because they know that their judgment is coming very, very soon upon them. That's going to happen. Certainly, as we think about that, we can go on here. And we see that the day of the Lord certainly relates to God's rule on earth, his sovereign purpose for world history, God's judgment on his enemies, from which no one will escape. And God will account, will come to, in the person of Jesus Christ, back to this earth. And he's going to accomplish 9 things in pretty short order. One, he's going to crush Satan's usurped rule of the world system. He's going to imprison Satan in a bottomless pit. He's going to cast Antichrist and the false prophet in the lake of fire, as well as the worshipers of the image of Antichrist. He's going to establish a 1,000-year rule in his kingdom. He's going to restore great longevity of life. A child shall die at 100 years, the Bible says, in the kingdom. And he is going to transform the topography of Israel, and Jerusalem is going to be extended out into the Mediterranean Sea. He's going to set up a new millennial temple. Tame animals that are ferocious today will be tamed. The salvation of 1/3 of the Jews will be happening at that time, and they will turn back to their Messiah, the true Messiah. And there will be a gathering of the elect from all the nations of the world, bringing them back to Jerusalem to see the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Well, folks, those are all signs that are leading up to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to just tell you one thing. There are no signs for the rapture. Now, we may see foreshadowings, but they're not signs, okay? There's not one bit of prophecy that needs to be fulfilled before Jesus Christ comes back again. And when he does, it will be imminent, and in a split second, it'll happen. In less than a splitting of an atom, the Bible says. Certainly, when is this end of the age, this end of the Gentile domination? The Bible speaks of 2 different ages. It talks about this present evil age in Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this age, 1 Corinthians 2:6, the wisdom of this age, Luke 20:34, the sons of this age, Titus 2:12, the present age. But there is also the age that is to come. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 5 says there's a distinction between this age and the powers of the world to come, or the age to come. Ephesians 1 verse 26 or verse 21 speaks of the world, the age to come, the kingdom age. Certainly, we know that Jesus Christ, when he comes, will end the Gentile domination. And you know who's going to sit on the throne? He is. Do you know who else is going to be co-regent with him? Those that are in Jesus Christ in the church. And Israel will be elevated once again as his chosen people. Folks, the demarcation of time is when Jesus Christ comes again as the Messiah. And he's going to return bodily even as he ascended into heaven. And you know what I think the real sign of Jesus Christ coming is? He doesn't say for sure, but I'm speculating here just a little bit. How did the disciples know Jesus Christ when he raised from the grave? They saw the prints of the nails in his hands and the wound in his side. And folks, when Jesus Christ comes back down to this earth bodily, we're going to know that that's him. And you read Revelation 19. I wished I had another 10 minutes to go through Revelation 19, what it says about Jesus Christ in his second coming. You read it at home. I mean, it is crystal clear how Jesus is going to come back with the armies of heaven, the angels of heaven, and his church. And Jesus is going to speak the word. One word is going to come out of that mouth of his like a double-edged sword, and all of his enemies are going to be defeated like that. Praise God. Folks, we're going to be there to see it. Do we have a powerful Lord? Is he able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think? Absolutely. But dear friends, if you're here without Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you will miss that great event. But you will not miss eternity in the lake of fire. And this is the reason that Jesus looked at the Jews who had rejected him in his first coming, and he looked at them, and with tears in his eyes, he wept over Jerusalem. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants them to come to be with him in his glory someday. Father, there's so much that you spoke to your disciples. Father, we are just overwhelmed to think of the truths that you were just laying on your disciples just a week before you went to the cross. And yet how each and every one of those truths were fulfilled in exact detail, and the ones yet to be fulfilled will be fulfilled in exact detail. Father, thank you that you sent your Son to rescue us and to place us in this church age. But oh, Father, we look forward to that great day when Jesus shall make all things right, and we will be with him in the kingdom upon this earth as well before we enter the eternal kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.